Accession number 16730, Steph Harrison, reel 10.
Mr. Harrison, reel 10. You wanted to put in some information that you'd missed out previously, Mr. Harrison.
Yep. I'm the Mandalay sector. I'm in the... We turned south, and the rest of the day, they went round the south and to the east of Mandalay. We came south towards Mingyan. On the way there, we had an interruption that they wanted some mortar fire putting down in a small copse. Now I went forward to act as lookout and range the mortars, which was about 300 or 400 yards behind where I was staying with the, I think, with D Company commander. Why? But the compass points for the mortars to range on, and the range, and we started ranging on this copse, which they thought was occupied by a section or two sections of Japanese, and we fired a few rounds after ranging, of course, and we fired a few rounds, but there was nothing really serious, and it was cleared up sharply, like.
When you're ranging, are you in touch with the mortars through telephone or wireless?
Oh, yes. You've got to be in touch with it. And you phone him back. Your alterations in your degrees, left, right, elevation or whatever, range. And you like one either backwards and forwards so it can get into the middle nicely. And you can range all the six mortars on that one point. Or... that area.
And nothing came of this? There wasn't much there?
It wasn't a great lot there. There was one or two Japanese, but they were spread all over at that time. Anyway, we came down to, still further down, it had been a long walk. We'd walked all the way from, like, Imphal, right away down. And this railway station, and it was taken by our battalion, and the train, and it was in reasonably good order, what information I got, and our RAs got it running, and that was the first train again since the Japanese, anyway, they got it going, and that was it. And after that, we went on to the Mingyan, and I think that's where we flew out of, and that would be what, maybe the end of March, end of April, no, end of March.
That's right. 1944.
This is 1945. That's right. Because it would have been 100 and oh, over 110 days, I think, without in Skahima. And we flew out from Mingyan to Calcutta, and I think the rest of the brigade followed us later on, and I understand that the rest of the division didn't come out till later. They were still like in active service roundabout. And we were assembled in Calcutta, and we were under canvas, and this was beginning of April and getting near towards the monsoon period. Well, we had a nice bit of rest, and we were being fed well and clothed, and I remember this storm and we were under canvas, as I've just said, and it buckled it down. Oh, it was torrential. There was shows, there was boats, there was all the floating away, and could do nothing about it. And anyway, we...
So you had difficulty keeping dry?
Oh, at that particular time. But it did dry up eventually for a while. And then we were summoned to go to board ship in the bay, Bengal, along with the 29th Div. I think it was the 29th Div. And we were on this Indian boat. And it was rough. Oh.
In what ways was it rough?
As I say, the monsoons was the start, and that's the only time I've been seasick in my life. And I mean, I've been right around the Atlantic, through the Med of Bay Biscay, up there times, and but never anything like this. Oh, the ship was actually leaving the water at times. It just crashed. And, well, as I say, that was the first time I was seasick, and it was a horrible feeling.
And the rest of the people, were they suffering in the same way?
Well, there was more than me. Oh, yes. But that was the first time. And
What were conditions like on the ship other than the sea?
Oh, they were horrible. I mean, there were far too many people on, but it was one of these jobs. It had to go, and we were to follow the 29th Division. We were supposed to back up the second Div, but when we got to Rangoon, it was the Japs had gone, and it was a nice quiet landing.
Did you expect to have Japanese opposition at Rangoon?
Yes, because we never knew anything else. We expected, you know, we're going to be some trouble, but. But when we landed, there was no opposition whatsoever. And consequently, the rest of the Div, by this time, had came out of Burma, the Calcutta area, where they weren't wanted. Not for that particular time.
Do you remember your landing at Rangoon?
Definitely,
How
yes.
did it go,
and
exactly?
Oh, it was just a matter of just walking off the ship onto the front, and then we disassembled and started marching through Rangoon. And funny enough, going through the streets, there was all this Japanese money. Oh, bundles and bullion. You were actually walking through it. That was the money they were spending in Rangoon at that time. Worthless. I mean, it wasn't worth the paper it was written on. And then we went past the pagoda. The great big pagoda in Rangoon. Yeah, I forget the name of it, but it's a magnificent building. Gold plated and all sorts. And this sort of a bazaar. You must take your boots off. This is in the quiet times, of course, but there's a bazaar, you go up to it. And it was quite a pleasant walk. Nice change going through a city.
Were the civilians out watching?
Oh, there was one or two. There was one or two about. They seemed quite pleased over there. But I was amazed at all this money. I said, look at it. I said, it's not worth a dime. I said, I mean,
had Rangoon been damaged?
Not a lot. No, I don't think that the oil fields, I think, I understand, had been blown up, which was further over. But I never saw a great lot of damage in Rangoon.
Had the Japanese shown any form of cruelty towards the population before they left?
Not that I saw at all. And anyway, we eventually, our battalion, we arrived at a jail. We were billeted in this jail, and I don't know the name of that name now. Is it Insin Jail, maybe? I might be wrong. I might be right. Insin Jail. And I remember the mortar platoon, the part we were in, oh, long, long cells, you know, room, big rooms, and a block of wood here all the way down. That's where they used to lay the heads, because the blocks of wood was just shaped, just where, you know, hard pillars. But we made ourselves comfortable, and we had a sergeant's mess there and everything else, and the accomplices scattered round about. We got a patrol now and again, just in case there was anything knocking about, and just to make sure that things was all right. But it kept us busy.
Did you come across anything at all?
None at all. No, I think they've got away from there all right. They'll do moving further over. But we had quite a good time there. The divisional cinema came, and it was all right.
Did the city life start to come up again? Did you get into the city?
Not a great lot. No, there was. I didn't get in a great lot, but I spent a bit of time. The letters you wrote there. We spent a bit of time going round with the wagons, looking for anybody that had any spare food or drinks, tea, coffee, anything, and to go and see Mother Chopin there at the convent and everything. Past.
This is where you got involved with supplying the convent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, we were out one day, and we came across this convent. I mean, it was just by accident. I mean, and we went in and walking through. It was a big ward, and I remember this chap, as I was walking, he was on the right hand side, and he said he was ex DLI. I said, "You've been here all through the." All through the job troubles. Oh, yes, I've been here all the time. He was an old man, and he was a lonely man, I would think, because there was nobody else there. There was a lot of, might have been Burmese and all sorts. They were all there. And we went into the kitchens where they were, and they were asked if we would like a drink of coffee, anything, you know, whatever it was. But, well, I says, how do you go on for food and everything here with the chaps being here all the time? I mean, well, we struggled, but we're still here. I mean, they always believe in the faith and everything else, but so we decided there and then. I wonder if we could do anything about it. There was Sergeant Smith and Sergeant Wilkes and myself. So the first time we granted the loan of a wagon, no problem, no papers to sign, anything. Yep.
This is one of your unit wagons.
Yeah. And boy, Sergeant Smith belonged to the transport section. And I said, well, just go around the companies, see what they've got, because at that particular time the rations was coming in, and we were feeding all right. Well, the first time I went round with tea and coffee and butter and, you know, there was all sorts, but also a lot of tin food. And, I saw the look on the faces of the sisters and mothers who were there. Oh, it was great. And we did that, I would say, three or four times, journey like that.
Did they tell you anything of how they got on during the occupation? How had they survived?
They didn't say a lot about it, but I don't think they were molested in any way. I could understand that, like, because the convent wasn't damaged in any way, and this Atkinson, he never said anything about being, of course, he didn't like them, but never said anything about being molested or...
How would he come to be there, caught in the convent?
I think he must have been an old soldier stationed out there, and he's been caught up in the. I mean, everything moved that fast. He'd been caught up, but I think he had relations living in India, and but I think he lost touch. He lost touch, you know, all the time.
So had the nuns hidden him, in effect, in the convent?
Pardon?
Had the nuns hidden him in the convent so the Japanese didn't get to him?
No, I don't think so. He was an elderly man. I mean, this is why there was no consequence. So, no, I don't think it was... Well, he was annoyed. He was one of you. I got him a cup badge. And that's all he wanted. And, well, I thought, reading his letters, when it was getting a bit boring in place, P.S. and P.S. and all this, and then it started getting a little bit shirty sometimes when, you know, nobody's bothering now, they don't come to see us. And he told me to go and see one officer in Durham, like, well, I never go down. Because, things were happening when we came home. And
how long were you in Rangoon?
Right till end of November. I think it was the beginning of December, or just that part of November, when we sailed out of Rangoon.
Had the war finished then?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
What were you doing around the Rangoon area at the end of the war, you know, after the bombs were dropped?
Well, there was drafts coming from a home, like, and we were training them. I mean, we were real sunburnt. I mean, they came out and they were lily white, and I mean, we looked two different class of people altogether. But we were training them because they knew they were going further afield. Well, at that time there was there was five or six of us. At this time, mind, I'd lost my father, and now that would be, he died on the 13th, and I got a telegram. It must have taken a couple of days, I would think, at least, or it must have been about the 15th.
Of November?
Of April, that was on the way down to Rangoon. And, what was I going to say? Anyway, I'd lost my father, and in November, we were training these recruits that was coming out, and they kept us busy. I mean, of course, we'd done our stint and everything else. Well, there's about five or six of us sergeants who went to the CO, and I would say they lads, and we volunteered to stop out. Well, it was automatic promotion. I mean, we knew that would have been automatic promotion, which would have been more money, but would have been, I understand that warriors count as double for pension pay, you know. I said, if we stop out here for another 3 or 4 years, I mean, it's going to be a good thing, like, you know. I just shook his head, no way. You've done your stint. She's like all of us. And he says, we're all going home.
Who was the commanding officer then?
Waterhouse, thanks, Ducky Waterhouse. He says, no, we're all going home to get... Why, there's many of us. We're not all going, but those that's eligible to go home, they're going home. And, as I say, everything turns out for the best. So it was a good thing, really, but... The journey home, am I going too fast now?
Were you rounding up Japanese prisoners at this point in time?
No, I think I only saw two Japanese prisoners all the time I was there. I mean, there would have been more. I think some of them have captured some, but about all of us, I just saw a kind of lot of dead ones, mind. And...
What was the quality of men like that were coming out that you were training, bearing in mind what quality troops you had in the battalion?
Why? They wanted to climatise, because, I mean, they came out a lot faster than what we did. I mean, we could get climatised, like, getting over the equator and coming the long way around, and they would just fly out. I mean, no problem. And they were all right. I mean, everybody used to say, there's something wrong with a lot of these fellas, isn't you? I says, oh, I says, if you're here long enough, you're just the same as them. Well, me either. I mean, well, it's a bit peculiar at times. But I said, we've been under this sun a long time in our mind. I says, you might be the same if you get, if you're out this length of time.
But were they national servicemen, or were they coming from other units in England?
Oh, no, there was a lot of national servicemen. We just, you know, like getting called up, maybe the last drafts and things like that, I would think. But, and there might have been units from, like, say, India, or have been billeted there a while and brought over. And it was all right. Oh, it wasn't a bad time. We used to have old parties and everything else, and you used to get a drink of beer now and again. And
the native people population, were they settled, obviously, after the Japanese had gone? Did they show any problems?
No, none at all. They were all right. Oh, yes. Oh, they were friendly people.
Did you get to meet them?
Oh, yes. Oh, I met quite a few. Yes. And they were always saying friendly. And they would do anything for you if you, you know.
Had elements of the battalion gone on into Malaya and moved forward at this point in time?
Well, not till we came away, but they were going. There was some that just hadn't, you know, been maybe reinforced. We'd been in the battalion maybe 12 months or 18 months, but they were going to do a little bit more on towards Malaysia and places like that. So, we were kept active. I don't think we really got bored any time. Because the war was over and everything else, and well, there's a lot of things went by, and which wouldn't have done in normal circumstances.
Well, there are a lot of other units in Rangoon with you.
I didn't see many. No, there was only this other div. Where they went to, I don't know. I think a lot of them must have, you know, gone further over. Of course, they would spread right around the area of Rangoon. And the Schwerigon pagoda, I'll just put that in, that was it. That was the big pagoda we saw. Wow, a beautiful place. And that's one thing I do remember about Rangoon, is that in the convent.
Did you have any ceremonies whilst you were in the city?
No, there was nothing much at all like that.
How did you celebrate the news that the war was over?
Why were this in the sergeant's mess? And why, well, lucky, we had some beer to celebrate with and everything else. And I say that was it. After being refused permission to stay, well, we were looking forward to getting home. And we'd done our stint. And everybody was in a jovial mood. I mean, you're getting around, you go around your companies. There's still guards to do, of course. You always had to do your guards and everything else. I mean, all Burmese weren't with the British, not on the most friendly of terms, but you still had to be aware of them,
You had no problems, though, with the Burmese.
Oh, no.
Some of them showed anti-British feelings.
That's right. But you still had a guard or two to do, everything like that. But once the war was finished, I mean, it was just little bits of things, a little bit of patrol. I think it just keep you busy. But it was all right.
What date did you leave Rangoon?
I think it was about there. Was the first week in December. It must have been about the first, because it didn't take, the journey was a lot shorter than what it was when we came out. And we were on a French ship, Felix Rozelle, and it was, the crew had been Vichy French. Ghastly. And we started and we came home right to Liverpool on a list all the way through, and there was nurses aboard, and there was all things flying off the mast, and the tying things up, and balloons and all sorts, and condoms. Some of them go, oh. And it was packed. The ship was packed and all, and there were anything but friendly, the crew.
And you have these various items, as you say, flying off the mast.
Yes. I was silly, like, but still.
Was this because discipline on the boat wasn't very good? There was a lot of
there were locks, I will say that. I mean, you didn't go too far, of course, but things were a bit lax. And
what way did the crew show that their animosity towards you?
Well, they always kept themselves to themselves. And the food wise, they didn't care whether they got it in the tea. When you go to get a drink of tea, the colour of it, oh, dear me. I think it was made up of seaweed. The colour of it, oh, terrible. But there was a lot, that feeling was there. You could feel it. They didn't like us. But we were still happy. We were still happy enough.
Were you in bunks? On decks? Or how were you?
No, there was no bunks. You just slept where you could. And, we were mostly on top all the time. I mean, even the hammocks, you hadn't room for hammocks. Just under mess tables or anywhere.
And they didn't keep the ladies' quarters out of bounds to the rest of the troops?
Well, they never mixed with the troops very much. There were always there was nurses and all sorts. I think they just kept themselves, reasonably, to
I'm
themselves.
I'm thinking in terms of the condoms you said that were flying around.
No, they were flying, I think, they just took it in good part. You know, it's just a bit of silliness. And
they weren't kind of using them with the nurses?
No, never saw anything like that. No. But anyway, when we got on board ship and we got away, and we came to Colombo. Then we stopped there. We didn't get ashore, but the boats were around us. You know, I bought a pair of shoes there, and they lasted me a long time. They were a good pair of shoes. And
these are sails from the boats around.
Yeah, boom boats, I call them, I think. And it looked a nice place, did Colombo. I would have liked to get on the shore there, but we didn't get the chance. And
where was your next stop?
The next stop was Port Said. And we stopped there, but there again, we didn't get ashore. That was just prior to going through the sewers. That was an experience. I mean, it was a nice sight to see. But it was a good voyage up to then, and no rough seas, anything like that. I mean, you cost a lot of money for if the conditions had been better, to double cross like that.
How did you keep yourselves occupied on the boat? It's a long way.
Oh yes, it's We still kept a little bit of there was a bit of discipline shown on the boat, and they kept the officers kept, you know, kept you right, and we kept the lads right and all of them in there. But it was all right. Everything was jovial. I mean, everybody was friends, and it was quite nice. I mean, you were going the right way. And it was nice to see the lights all over. You know, when you pass another ship and you go, oh, look at that, it's great. I mean, you also spend hours just looking over the side of the ship, watching the different things that's in the water at night time. It's like phosphorus, I think. Some sort of phosphorus that's flying about and all. So it's pretty nice. And ports.
After Port Said, where did you go then?
Well, we went through the Panama, the Suez Canal, and then through the Mediterranean, and we'd. We were just close off Italy. You could say Italy, and then we headed for Gib. And we stopped at Gibraltar, and the boats was there again, and there was silk stockings and all sorts, you know, those. And somebody always bought something, fresh fruit and anything, which we weren't a lot of on the ship. And from there, we came up to Liverpool. And that we landed there, I think it was night time, it was dark. And
was this before Christmas?
Or? Oh, yes, it was about before Christmas. But it only takes you about 2 or 3 weeks, the way we came. And we got off the board and assembled.